having her full support 120% in what I'm doing and the risk that I'm taking and starting my business and the business that I'm in. I always like to highlight whenever I'm doing interviews, like, this, like, I would never be where I'm at professionally without her and her support.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We're here today.
We're here with Taylor and Laura Schulte, and we're excited because Taylor loves carne asada burritos and golf. No, just kidding.
Me too.
He's also a financial advisor and loves his two children and his wonderful wife, Laura, sitting next to him, who is Generation Mom Podcast. She helps mothers own their motherhood, their own motherhood, not your neighbors, not your friends, but your own. Welcome, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, we're so happy to be here.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you back. I feel like there were a couple different times with podcasts and live webinars we did together working with business families through COVID. So it's pretty cool to, not that we're through COVID now, but you know, we're well into it. And it's been a pretty interesting journey. And I like to reconnect with people who we had real touch points through this odd issue, which was definitely you guys.
Now that we're on the other side of it, I'm excited to get some more information from you guys. Laura, first, you were talking a little bit before we got on about implementing some fun preschool things at home. How old are your boys?
They're little. Well, one will be 3.5 and next month, and the other one will be 2 next month. So, yeah, I feel like just these last 6 months, we've been really at home with them. They've changed so much. But yes, I really was struggling and trying to figure out what to do in the fall for them, because our older one, he was in preschool prior to COVID, and we pulled him out kind of the day before everything shut down, just an intuition that we followed. And he kept asking to go back to school and, you know, having those conversations with your kids. It's hard even when they're 3 and they haven't even been in school very long. But anyhow, so it was really a hard decision. You know, is it safe to send them back? Which I really think that right now, as far as preschools go, like, they're the safest they're going to be, especially with our older kids doing a virtual learning. But for us, it was better just to keep the kids at home, we decided. The two boys have gotten extremely close in the last 6 months. So kind of pulling them apart didn't seem right. And I can start both of them in school together maybe next year at the same time. So we just thought keeping them together would be better. Yeah, with the help of a friend of mine who most people know, she's kind of Instagram famous. Her name is Susie Allison, and she has the Busy Toddler. She has a plain preschool program. It's an online program that I basically printed out, and then I merged what she teaches with kind of what their preschool schedule was like. So when they do go back to preschool, it's an easy transition for them. They're used to the morning prayer that they do, the songs that they open up with at circle time, snack time, you know, all of those types of things. I'm very type A, as you've already probably picked up on. So having that schedule for them and that structure probably got me more excited than it did for them. But we're good. Today's our first full day they have their nanny coming and actually implementing it, because I feel like our kids needed somebody else to kind of learn to respect and be disciplined from over the course of these last 6 months than us. And so that's what we're doing, and that's how it's worked, and we're happy about it.
Yeah, I think that last part's really important too. You know, I mean, they've been doing the same thing every single day pretty much for the last 6 months. Whether it's her and I at home, you know, going through our normal schedule, or most recently, you know, me at the office and her doing it every single day. And the grandparents will come in and help here and there. But I think it's really important to shake it up a little bit, give them some actual structure and some learning, and have somebody else do that instead of one of us. So I think it'll be really, really good for them.
Sometimes that hierarchy gets a little too direct, and it's nice to come from, like, our nanny is almost like a fun aunt.
Yeah.
Same thing, and really important to, like you said, it's a different angle, which I think helps things grow a little better.
Yeah.
I would say I'm just not that great. Like, I'm great. I'm just not that great. I can't be the only person facilitating what's going on with my family. How do you guide other parents in that delegation? Because there is so many parts to implementing this new type of program, whether it's for preschoolers or older children, but you have to, I feel, delegate and implement. I'm not great at either of those things. I kind of, you know, might have an idea and want to keep reshaping the idea, but sometimes it's difficult to launch something like that. How do you guide others, or how did you decide in which way how to implement and how to delegate properly?
Well, that's funny because it's exactly what I teach moms. So I like to tell moms that I can teach them to parent and partner to their skill set. And what I do is I use a proprietary human technology. It's a test, like a personality test, similar to like a Myers-Briggs or an Enneagram. It's called the Ultimate Life Tool. And I give that to my clients, and I've taken it a million times myself, and you have as well, Taylor. And it really tells you what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, how you communicate, and so much more. So I know that innately my talents are creating order and creating things that teach people, that I like to share, that are kind of beautiful, like a presentation of the sorts. So I knew that my strength was in creating kind of structure and a schedule and the program that the kids were going to do, but my strength wasn't necessarily the teaching and implementation part. So bringing somebody in, I knew was essential to me and what I needed, because that wasn't necessarily my strength. And if I were to do that every day with the kids, I would actually lose energy and I'd start operating out of my weaker side rather than my strength, because it's depleting, right? So instead of having somebody else do that, me getting to come and be on this podcast with you and work my brain in a way that operate that I'm operating out of my strength, then refuels me. I can go back to my kids and do it all over again.
We got big into know thyself, because we didn't learn these things in school. And as I got into more entrepreneur classes, Enneagram, Colby, these were huge. And as your kids get older, it'll be cool for you guys to see. We started to do it with the kids, like Colby for Kids. Mm-hmm. We learned so much where I'm like, what a hack. Thank God I didn't wait till they were 25 to realize,
or 40,
what their skills are. So yeah. I love to hear that. Hey, we set it up, but we use some self-assessment. We learn about ourselves before we try to play to our weaknesses instead of our strengths. And it sounds so simple, but so many people don't do that. So many people will say, oh, I'm not detail-oriented, so I'm going to handle the details. And I'm going, why would you beat yourself up? Taylor, I don't know if you've worked with Dan Sullivan. He's got a great saying where it's like, if you work on your weaknesses, you'll have strong weaknesses. I always think about that. There's certain things Jamie is so good at with her Montessori and Waldorf background that if I even tried to step in on, it would be like the worst thing ever. But there's things that I'm good on in other business realms, and that playing to strengths helps settle the family so much.
We have a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. It's not like we're parenting experts here either. So I think it's really helpful for us to learn from others, you know, including you guys and other people in our network. You know, I'm, you know, regularly asking friends what they're doing in certain situations with their kids. And, you know, I know Laura does a lot of the same in her networks with different moms. So I think it's been helpful just to talk to other parents, especially parents that have kids that are older and they've been through, and you know, maybe not this exact situation, but similar situations, and taking guidance and advice from them has been helpful. But I think we're on this journey with a lot of other parents too, just trying to figure out what works and what doesn't.
And Taylor, how do you, you know, speaking of implementing and delegating, you run your own organization, you have your own clients and those that you coach. How do you partner? Because, you know, Laura's implementing these great things at home and she gets to work within her genius and then come home and practice her genius. And it kind of is just going hand in hand. How do you guys take what your genius is, your practice, how you guide in the grown-up world, and then bring that home? How do you marry those two things? How do you delegate and implement?
This is a big question. It's a really challenging thing that I have to deal with right now. You know, we're in this place where, again, we have a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. Laura's full-time mom. You know, I'm responsible for, you know, contributing financially to this family. And so there's a lot of weight on my shoulders. And I think we've had to work really hard to kind of separate those roles. And, you know, Laura really owning the household and the kids and, you know, working through all of that. I think where I get challenges, like what I really want is I really want to build up my business and get to a really comfortable place so that when the boys are 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15, like I can really, really be a part of their life. You know, taking them to school, being a part of their sports programs and all of that. But on the flip side, I feel like I'm often missing out sometimes on some of these younger years, right? Like I work a lot because of that weight that's on my shoulders, just ongoing challenge of like balancing building for the future and wanting to be there for my kids when they're older, but also working a lot right now and missing out on some of these things. So I don't know. I think to answer your question, like, we definitely separate these roles. Lara is the boss at the house. You know, she runs a lot of this stuff and I kind of just go along with it and I help and support where I can. I think one of the things that we've done really well is, you know, her and I have found ourselves getting into trouble with certain expectations. Like, I expect something from her that I haven't even discussed with her, right? And vice versa. And so one of those things is my work schedule and me leaving the house in the morning at a certain time and coming back at a certain time. Lara wanting some time in the morning to herself and not just to wake up with kids screaming at her. And so we sat down and talked about on Mondays and Wednesdays. So like today's Wednesday, I'll leave the house super early before the kids are awake. And that's kind of Lara's, you know, day to handle the morning without me. So Mondays and Wednesdays, I leave early, no questions asked. We don't have to talk about it. We know it's a Monday or a Wednesday. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I stay home later. She's able to work out and meditate and journal and not have to worry about the kids getting up. And I'll stay later and take care of the kids and get them fed and ready for her. Also on Fridays, I take the day off to myself and she takes care of the kids. Again, no questions asked, like, go play golf, go have fun, take a day to yourself. And on Saturdays, we, you know, turn that around and Lara goes and does stuff for herself and I'll watch the kids. And it sounds kind of silly to like have that structure in place, but I think it removes a lot of that frustration and animosity and like, why are you playing golf on a Friday? Why aren't you at work making more money? Why are you leaving the house early? I need your help. And so I think just getting ahead of a lot of that stuff and building that structure has really helped us to separate those roles, but also support each other in those different departments.
I'll add to that and say a lot of what we're talking about here is just being really intentional with our time. And to be completely honest, we've learned a lot of that from your book, Jim. I mean, we really, truly did, just about like being intentional about the one-on-one time with each child as a family and then with each other. And so not only are those marked on our calendar, and again, our kids are a little young, so we're in the early stages of a lot of like the board meetings, but when we found your book, that's when we started doing this work. It was, I think, the exact same month. We just took everything in your book and just took it another step further. Like, how can we implement this every day into our life?
It's funny to hear almost, and I still get comfortable with it, but Taylor was like, and, you know, some people say this, almost like we feel like we need to defend ourselves for rhythmizing our life around intentional values. And really, we don't, because we say, oh, well, you could be making more money. Yeah, maybe, but we all know the old sharpen the saw. Are you going to be as sharp and as focused and as motivated in that? And, oh, you're spending time just with yourself and yourself. What about the kids? Well, that's one of the best examples you can show the kids, I think. So it's really cool to hear of another family that believes in rhythms and setting these priorities. And I think we all work on it because there is a pressure out there. I don't know if it's real, if it's imagined, or if it's actually out there that we're like, oh, should we be doing that? Should, like, Jamie and I leave tomorrow night for an overnight? And we do one once a quarter. And it's like, oh, what about this? And we're like, no. Our time is important.
Yeah.
Our family time is important, but my time is important, her time, and our time together as spouse. And it's really cool to hear you were like, boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, because I know how much freedom that creates. And when we're rhythmized like that, things go better. And we're not, and we start to like throw this one out the window or that one. That's when expectations aren't met or confusion. And it's really cool to hear that you guys have gotten it so regimented.
Yeah. And I think the pitfall or potential pitfall that maybe I struggle with is the lack of spontaneity, right? Like when your life is so structured and like every day has a plan, it's hard to be spontaneous and wake up on a Saturday and say, hey, you know what? Like, Lara, I know today's your day to go, you know, do your thing, but like, I want to take the whole family to the beach and go have a family day. And not that I can't do that, but you know, when things get so regimented, it's sometimes harder to be spontaneous. And so I struggle with that a little bit. And that's why I say, maybe it sounds kind of crazy to have such a structured schedule. So I think there is maybe a little bit of a balance that you can find in there. And I think we try. I think we do a fairly good job at that.
Yeah, we just accepted dinner plans with another family.
Crazy. Wow.
That's an eight type shining right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we always say that, you know, when you schedule breeds freedom, you stick to your rhythms and you know what to expect, then you can find the freedom within those. So Jim would do an overnight by himself once a quarter, and then we would do an overnight together once a quarter. And then I would just be like, well, gosh, I don't really want to go away by myself. So it seemed incongruent because I'd be one that every day off, Jim might say, oh, I want to take the family to the beach, like you gave for an example. And every single time I'd be like, okay, I'd rather just all be together. And maybe that's my own personality flaw. But
I identify with that too, Jamie. I don't know what it is. If it's like the mom guilt, which I hate talking about because it shouldn't be a thing, but it's a thing. But yeah, I mean, if Taylor's just like kind of gives me a feeling he wants to have some family togetherness, then I would give everything up. But then I have to remind myself, you know what? Even if I go and take 15 minutes by myself to go meditate or journal or go outside for a walk, that does refuel me and recharge me. It's just at least be clear once we're all in it together.
You're absolutely right. I think too, you and I share the similar problem that we really like our husbands. And I think that, you know, so often I hear people think that, I don't want to say, you know, that we're being gluttonous or that we're overindulging in things like date night or time away. You know, oh, people say, oh, I wish I could do that. And I think, well, you can, you know, create a rhythm and then you'll have all this free time to do things like be with your spouse, also be with your children. Because when you get intentional, you find all of this open available space to do things like be spontaneous, maybe have soup on Mexican Monday instead of tacos. I don't know, get wild with it.
So true.
I want to bring up something that a lot of people have contacted us from 18 Summers. And I know you work with families and you've led financial advisors, Taylor, who obviously these guys have families. We all go through business difficulties, you know, anything from, you know, from business lawsuits to, you know, economic meltdowns and that. And to be candid, we both were able to share before this, like, man, business has been good through COVID. And we both were really appreciative of that. But both of us have gone through business struggles. And that can put a lot on the marriage, but also on the family. Like, what are some things you guys have learned to better face business struggles united, like as a couple and as a family?
I think two things come to mind. So the first 6 months of this year, I think were maybe the most challenging of my entire career, and had nothing to do with COVID. I mean, COVID was there and it certainly didn't help, but there were a number of things that happened to me personally and professionally that just, it made the first 6 months really, really, like, I think I lost like 10 years of my life.
Came out with more gray hair.
Yeah. But there,
I
think there's, again, there's two things that come to mind, and I know there's more, but one is, you know, having her full support, 120% in what I'm doing and the risk that I'm taking and starting my business and the business that I'm in. I always like to highlight whenever I'm doing interviews like this, like, I would never be where I'm at professionally without her and her support. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners make this mistake of going and starting this business without, you know, fully having the other spouse on board and understanding what that, you know, involves. And so, you know, she's been next to me through thick and thin, and yeah, just been on board and really supportive. So I think that's one piece. The second is, as challenging as the first 6 months was, I mean, really challenging. One of the things that I always strive to do, and I'll let Laura decide whether I'm good at it or not. One of my business coaches shares this concept of being above the line or below the line. Below the line, meaning you're not acting, you know, as your best self. You're angry, you're stressed, you're taking that out on your family. Above the line is like, you are your best self. And so this just always stuck with me that when I come home from work, you know, every single day, even if it was the hardest day of my life, to make sure that I walk in the door to my family when I'm above the line. And so she always says, like, you know, I don't care if you have 100 jumping jacks in your driveway to get above the line, or sit in your car for 30 minutes in silence, whatever it takes to make sure that when you walk through the door, you're above the line and you're not taking any of that stress out on your family. And I think for the most part, I've done a pretty darn good job at that. I think that's one thing that's really kind of held us together through a difficult time.
Wow, I like that. Above the line, I'm gonna remember that one. I really like that. And it's a simple thing, but if it starts to build, right?
Every single day, like when I make that last turn to our house, it's like the first thing that pops in my head is like, am I above the line or below the line right now? I've not done jumping jacks in the driveway yet, but I have other methods.
That we get a video of that if you do. So it's a, for anything, what do you have, Laura? Like, how did you, having tough financial discussion can be tough because obviously you guys share that openly, which sets good financial example. How do you help keep that open? How do you help keep that supportive? Because it is a big pressure for men to feel that honor to provide. And when there's financial difficulty, it's scary. It's a pierce to the side. Like, how did you help keep that opened and keep that lane intact?
So you started your business in 2014. So it's been about 6 years. And so, I mean, in all completely candidness, prior to him starting his business, I was a sales executive and I did pretty well and really supported us. And when he went to start, he was working for another firm. And I just looked at him one day and I was like, I think you could do this yourself. And didn't really know what that was going to kind of like turn into, that statement, but it quickly turned into him starting his own business. And I remember saying, I'm going, don't worry about it. I've got you. Like, you go put everything into this business and I've got you. And then, you know, at the same time, we decided it was a good idea to buy a house. And then I quit my job like a month later, that job that was supposed to support us. I decided to quit and go start something new. So I definitely shook it up, but I'll say, you don't decide to marry an entrepreneur or somebody that has entrepreneur-like thinking unless you like to take risks yourself. Learning to take risks and getting excited about it. But also, I mean, especially since becoming a mother and being more home with the kids, I'm not working as much as I once did. I try to be as creative and work as much as I can when it feels right, but it's not always a thing. And I love just to see his progress and really just, he motivates me and I think I motivate him just by his experience. And at the end of the day, every day, I'm just like, what happened today? Like, it's almost living vicariously through him in a way, in a good way. But as far as a lot of those conversations that we've had to have over the years, we've had to have many during that period of time, the first like 3 years of your business, we had an unfortunate case. I had mentioned that we had bought a home. It was a brand new, beautiful home, but it had one big giant problem that we didn't know about until after we were living there and it was not disclosed to us. So we ended up in a lawsuit for about 3 years. And it was a very trying 3 years. For anybody that's ever been in a lawsuit, those legal bills just pile. And we had come from a place where we had a lot of savings to where we had virtually nothing and we had debt. And we also had a 6-month-old. You know, during that period of time, during those 3 years too, I also had a miscarriage. So there was a lot that was going on. And for two people that, you know, Taylor and I have been together since first day of college, and basically our entire life was like pretty easy. We were riding kind of this straight line. And then suddenly 2015 hits. And we realized like life is not a straight line and there's a lot of adversity that started getting thrown at us. And it was really stressful and we had to be very open about the conversations and where we were financially. And I remember like the risk thing that especially he's more into taking risks even than I am. And I was just like, it seems like a lot of risk to keep going down this rabbit hole of this lawsuit. It would make me really nervous. And I remember, you know, a lot of tears, a lot of stress, and then we would get through it. But I've come to learn, honestly, that life is happening for us. It's not happening to us. And that these challenges, you know, whether it be financial or pregnancy difficulty or health challenges in other ways, that I don't want to say there's a reason for everything, but I do want to say like we learn a lot and we take whatever we learn, good or bad, from that experience, from those hard conversations, and we apply it to the next time we have to have something like that. So I would say, I mean, honestly, it's just knowing that it's not the first time we're going to have this conversation. It's definitely not going to be the last time. And what can we take away from this experience and apply it to our future so we handle it better the next time it comes around?
And I'm sure those rhythms that you have in place too anchor you. So even through those hard times, if you still know Laura gets her own time on Saturdays, whether it's to fall apart or to call a girlfriend or to paint your own toenails, whatever it may be, it might just be enough of the, okay, I can do this again, you know, and same thing for you, Taylor.
Yeah, I also think a big part of it too is what we're doing right now, which is just like being vulnerable and sharing it. When that lawsuit ended, and she's right, like, I mean, we were juggling credit card debt, like serious credit card debt through this lawsuit. And when that lawsuit ended, I went on arguably the top finance podcast in iTunes. I cold emailed the guy. I needed to like get this off my chest and like share it with the world and to try to help other people going through something similar. And so when I just shared my story, I shared everything, like all the details. And even as a financial planner, who's supposed to like have their financial life perfectly buttoned up, it was like really therapeutic to just talk about it and share it. And I think a lot of people kind of keep that close to the chest and they don't share about these experiences. And I think we're the opposite. We're like, no, like we've been through stuff and here's what happened and here's what we've learned and here's, you know, how you can maybe avoid some of this. So I think that's been helpful as well.
Right. And that's why people are attracted to you, because there's no perfect family. There's no perfect business. And I think today, especially with what we go through, no one wants to hear if you're perfect, no one can relate to you. And I think that's why you guys are relatable, and hopefully the compliments we have too, because two things you just talked about that most people never would is debt and going from huge savings to debt, and also miscarriages. We went through the miscarriage thing, and I think it's one of the least talked about, most painful things, because there's not really a, there's a fire. We know how to do a fire drill and go outside. Well, when we go through that with a miscarriage, us as guys, how do we support? We're not feeling both the physical and mental, but we're feeling the mental while business stuff is going on in debt. It's a major thing. So it's very interesting you guys brought up those two, and I commend you, because so many families like you guys, like us, have faced that, and they have no example, no outlet to even talk about or hear any sort of advice like you're giving
it.
Yeah, normalize it. So that's very powerful and quite interesting you brought those two up, because we've gone through the same, and I know there's tons of people out there that go through the same thing, but it's just not talked about.
Laura actually interviewed me on her podcast about the miscarriage, and that was, we've had a few of them. But it was interesting for her and I just like sit on the couch and have a conversation and publish that to the world.
Yeah.
But again, I think
that's very powerful. I'll have to listen to that one. That's very powerful. You want to support Taylor, right? But how do I best support? Because I can't understand what they're going through physically, but mentally I can feel it. But I also want to protect them, but I can't protect them. There's a range of emotion for the guys. Again, learning that firsthand, unfortunately, it's tough to even still describe. And I think with that, obviously now we're getting into like bigger things of life. And although I could sit here and talk coffee with you guys for hours, you know, Jamie and I always like to end with the 75-year-old self. It's become our staple question because we learn so much every time someone like you guys says it. So we always ask, and now we'll get from two good perspectives today.
A mama and a papa.
And a pop. We all hear about, oh, what would you say to your younger self? We've taken it the other way. You know, looking ahead to your 75-year-old self. Hopefully you're still podcasting, playing golf, and having a good time, but you're going to be a wiser, older self. What advice do you think your 75-year-old self would give to you today?
You want to go first?
No, you go first.
Way to go, Laura. Way to empower other moms. Way to do your thing. I'm proud of you for, you know, learning TikTok dances. And like, it could just be you being reaffirmed by your 75-year-old self. Sometimes that's the greatest advice we need as well. So it could either be advice or a, you know, a reflection on what you rocked when you were younger.
Well, I'll say this. What I've learned in the past 6 months is fears come up. How many times has fear come up for so many of us in the last 6 months? Like, is this ever going to end? Are we going to get sick? Does the world catch on fire? Like, what is happening? And fear was really like prevalent for the first, you know, at least month or two, like March, April, I felt a lot of fear coming up, and I've really been trying to work through it. And, you know, going back to what I said earlier about how life is working for us, it's not happening to us. That's kind of something I remind myself of all the time. And just those last 6 months, I've really been working on managing fear and worry. And it's really funny because I'm doing another interview today and I was going to talk about fear in it. And this morning, I read two passages from two different books every morning. One is from Leanne Tankersley's, in one of her journals called, it's about surrendering. It's called Always Begin Again. And the other one is Ryan Holiday's The Daily Stoic. And both passages I read today were about fear. Just remind me, like, this is what I'm supposed to talk about. So I hope that my 75-year-old self says, you know what, Laura, thou shalt not fear. Like, don't fear, don't worry, because so much of what we worry about never ends up coming to fruition. And that is just wasted time and energy. So really learning to like not fear things, deal with it when it happens, really living in the present has been something that I've had to really work through these last 6 months. And I think I've made great steps and leaps in it. And I hope my 75-year-old self looks back and says, you really did this with the rest of your life.
Love it.
That's great.
Good one.
Every single day I try to think, I reflect on like, what am I good at? What do I really enjoy doing? And how can I, you know, marry those two things and just do that all day long every day? And I'm getting better and better at that. And I think my 75-year-old self will say two things. One, like, well done for doing what you love and you're good at and contributing to this world in a positive way. I think a lot of people get stuck in that job that they hate and they stay stagnant and they don't, you know, make those jumps and do those things for themselves. And so I think I've done a really good job at that. And I hope my 75-year-old self would acknowledge that. Two, you know, I'd love to hear from my 75-year-old self that like, you're going to be okay. I worry about these things in the present moment that I don't think I really need to worry about. Like this too shall pass, right? This real estate nightmare, the first 6 months of this year, the stuff I went through, like these things will pass, and trying to just tackle them in the present and not think so much and let it like put so much stress and anxiety on me. Like I'd love for that 75-year-old self to say, dude, it's going to be okay. Just relax.
I love it.
I need to hear.
I feel like that's what God says to me every day. Dude, relax. And sometimes I'm like, well, then you better figure this shit out.
I got this. Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for being here with us today. Where can we find two things? I'd love to know, Taylor, where can we find that Super Vulnerable podcast? Do you mind dropping that info for us?
Yeah, I'll share a link. It was on the Stacking Benjamins podcast. And I think if you Google my name and Stacking Benjamins, it should come up. But I'm happy to share
it. We'll try to attach that and the other one about you guys. I think that's fascinating that you guys did one on that.
Yeah, Laura, what was that one titled? Do you
remember? That was actually a very long episode because it was last October. We released it on October 15th, 2019 because that's National Miscarriage Awareness Day. And it's on the Generation.Mom podcast. And it takes you through not just our story of miscarriage, but a few other, like more influencers, their stories of miscarriage, because I interviewed about five other women. And then there's a conversation with my friend Amanda, who has the Feel Amazing Naked podcast, and her experience with it. And so we kind of partnered and collaborated on that episode together. So it's a long one, but about halfway through, you can hear Taylor's perspective on all of it and our conversation.
I'll make sure that we get those links, because I think both of those sound like incredible things to listen to. Thank you for your time and for being here, sharing your wisdom on how to parent and partner.
Good luck with the first day of school today too. Well, the first handoff day of school.
You guys are full of wisdom. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for all of your work and for helping us navigate this crazy world.
Yeah, we owe a lot to you both.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.